My favorite song, folks. Shannon didn't. She didn't know that because things have kind of been changed around today. We had other things that were scheduled, but this happened to be on the Lord's schedule. And we thank the Lord. I love that song. Pray for us. I love to tell the story. A couple of weeks, we'll be in India for just a few days. You know, 1 week is going to be a real hard week. It usually is. We fly out on a Monday and we get there on Thursday. And then we go. And we got a graduation in one of the schools we started on Saturday. And then we've got meetings scheduled well that Friday. And then Monday got a lot going on, and appreciate your prayers for that. And then the pastors in Kenya, I've been in touch with them a lot in the last week, and they're orchestrating some meetings there. And God is working, people. It's talking about telling the story. It's not just in other places, but it's where we live, right here, and telling others the goodness of the Lord. That just blesses my heart. I want us to look today in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Just a couple of verses, but a very important passage of Scripture. And the understanding of this Scripture, it says so much to the believer. It's a lot for us to, if we can get a hold of this. You say, well, that, you know, what about other portions of Scripture in the Bible? The Bible, all of the Word of God is powerful. It's to the believer, it's our light. It's our lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It tells us how to live and who we are. But so many times I feel that believers, we don't understand who we are in Christ. And because of that, we waver in our faith. We're kind of up and down, and sometimes we're close to God, and then at times where we feel like we're not with God, and we wonder how can we be saved and do the things that some people that are saved do, and we're not judging, but we're according to the Scripture, and we see why is it that Christians waffle in their faith so much. And a clear understanding of who we are in Christ helps us to see how that we can live according to how God would have us to live. And we're looking at Ephesians 5, verse 18 today. And I titled the message this morning, Continuing to Continue. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm sure you've heard many sermons on it and much study has been put into it. The Apostle Paul says, and he's talking about how we're to live, we're to be light and to walk circumspectly, how we're to live as a believer. Now he's talking to believers and how we're to conduct ourselves. And then he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'd like for us to look at this verse 18 specifically. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. As we think about this matter of being filled with the Spirit, Paul is in this particular letter to the believers in Ephesus, has written who they are and how Christ has brought them from the past. They were, and we've seen this in the study of the messages, they were, and you and I identify with these, they were in darkness, they were in sin, but now we're in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to have a different lifestyle than previously. you think about this matter, he says to be filled with the Spirit. One cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if they're not saved. So salvation, we would say, would be a requirement to be filled. The Holy Spirit, and you understand this, is a part of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and as the Son. And now you have the Spirit of God. So there's no way to dissect this and have the Spirit of God and not be saved and have the Son and the Father. So a person must be born again to be filled with the Spirit of God. One must be saved to be filled. One cannot be filled or filled up with something that they do not have. So how do we get the Holy Spirit? Well, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we are converted. So we have this Spirit of God living inside of us. We're talking about the believer. And he compares this feeling now with a person that's drunk with wine. And that's what he said. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And Paul uses an analogy that one can see and understand. A person that is filled with wine finds themselves being controlled by that substance. You talk about wine in that day. You talk about things today. You look at drugs and something. What we're talking about is a contrast and a comparison of how something can have an effect on a person when that person is engaged and filled with it. So we look at the wine. They begin to drink wine, and the wine begins to have an influence on them. They begin to do things that they wouldn't normally do. They begin to act a way that they wouldn't normally act. Some people love others that have always been arrogant to others, and some people hate others that have always loved. This wine gets a hold of a person, and it causes them to do things under its control or power. Well, now, having said that, what about the Spirit of God? He said not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is seen as having the authority to control a person. And this has brought up a lot of study, I'll say that, let's put it that way, in what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? And that's what I want us to think about today. If we're born again, we are indwelt with the Spirit of God, but what about the filling of the Spirit of God? Well, to some, it has been said that in their theological circles that a person is born again by the Spirit of God and indwelt with the Spirit of God, but they're not filled. And this filling of the Holy Spirit is a, quote, second blessing that comes somewhere down the road. So once you're saved, you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Well, there's no biblical ground for that, a particular verse or chapter that says, pray for the Spirit to fill you. We find that once we're saved, we're filled by the Spirit of God, but there's this continual to be filled with the Spirit. And this is what, again, looking at the context of what Paul is saying, and the Greek language of which the New Testament was written would help us to see this. This verb, filled, be filled, is in what we call it in the Greek speaking an aorist tense. An aorist tense of a verb is something that happens one time only, and it has a continual effect on the person. So just like you don't need to be saved repeatedly, because once you're saved, you're saved. Eternally secure. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit one time. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. In the New Testament era, we see how the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, and he remained in them that were saved, and he does that today. He's not coming and going, leaving and coming, as he did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person for a particular task or duty or what, and would leave the person. But today we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. One-time sealing. That's, again, as tense. It occurred when you were saved, you were sealed, and it has a continual effect on you of being sealed to the day of redemption. You're sealed. Now, the word filled, of course, is a continuing of something that he did. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We're born again, and this filling is something that must continue. And how does that happen? Well, again, some say it's the second blessing of the Holy Spirit. And when you pray for that, Paul doesn't tell us to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So and someone may say, well, again, we are made of two different natures. We have a fallen nature in Adam. Now we have a new nature in Christ, and we must submit ourselves to the will of the Holy Spirit, and this fills us, and this is a continual process. Again, we should pray. We should confess our sin. As Jesus said, we should confess our sin. We should repent of our sin as believers, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are things that you and I are to do. We're to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. But being filled with the Spirit is something that we should continue to have him do in our life. It's not a second blessing. It's not, again, someone says, well, it sometimes in this process of sanctification, something happens in a person's life, and it's that thing after salvation, whatever that thing may be, this thing occurs in a person's life, and then it's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Stay with me with that thought, if you would, because it's important to understand this. As a born-again believer, at whatever age, children, adults, young adults, we're born into the family of God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We may not know all of these things. It's just like salvation. Many people don't understand the eternal security of salvation. Well, how do you find that you're eternal, secure in the Lord? Well, by his word, by reading his word. See, it's more than just being saved and repenting of your sin and saying, I'm glad that he's my Savior. Now I've got this done. I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, you are, but still, there's a lot of growth that must take place. This Holy Spirit, now that indwells you, he needs to continue from that point that you're continually being filled. Why? Because, and how does that happen? Well, you find that it happens through the Word of God. It's not through a circumstance. While some would say, yes, it is. I know when it happened. This particular thing happened in my life. I remember the day, the moment, et cetera, et cetera. And that's when I understood and got the Holy Spirit. Could it be that that thing, whatever it could be, and we have those things occur in our lives, God permits things to happen, and sometimes it's a life-changing event, whatever it may be. And what we find is it wasn't the event that presented the Holy Spirit in our life. Oftentimes we find it that it's through an event where that we draw close to God. We get back in church. We get under the hearing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the teaching of the Word. We begin to read the Word of God ourselves. We take it and we pick it up, and all of a sudden, it's jumping off the page at us. It wasn't that was the second blessing of the Holy Spirit. If anything, we find that The Spirit has been there in the Word of God all along, but we haven't been putting them together. So think about it just a moment with me. In a person's life, the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the rock, and he's our salvation. Now we're saved, we're sealed, we're eternal secure, everything. But now here's the Word of God, and here's the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God, but it's until we get into His Word and we allow the Holy Spirit, and you and I must seek to do this. It's not something that just happens, but we get into the Word of God again, whether this event has led us back to church, whether it's led us back to the Bible, whether it's led us back to our daily devotion, back to our prayer time. See, this thing is the working of God. And it's not a thing where that we can say, well, this happened to me. It's a second blessing. And now I'm praying like I once was. I'm reading my Bible like I once was. No, it's the filling of the Spirit of God. And now we understand. So we see these things. The process of sanctification, if you would. And then this matter of being full of the Holy Spirit is evident in our life. I'm going to give us an example of this. If you'd like, we'll turn back to the book of Acts. And we find there how the church began, of course, on the day of Pentecost. And those that were saved and filled by the Holy Spirit of God were Jews. Well, now God had the Gentile included in this salvation of Jesus Christ. So persecution, God allowed persecution, even through the Apostle Paul that wrote the letter to those in Ephesus. So the church is being persecuted at Jerusalem. And as a result of the persecution, the Jewish believers are being scattered. And we pick this up in chapter number 11. We find there in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Remember, Stephen was stoned to death because of his faith in Christ. Paul was there. The persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now we find that the message is going beyond the Jews to the Lord Jesus, to the Gentiles, is what he says. And then we pick up, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. So the Jews in Jerusalem are hearing now that these Gentiles in Antioch are receiving Jesus Christ. So they sent Barnabas. And it says in verse 22, and they sent forth Barnabas that he would go so far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So they sent this man Barnabas. Well, what about Barnabas? He goes on to tell us in verse 24. He was a good man. It's good to be a good man, but if he'd have stopped there, that's not good enough. It says in verse 24, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? This is what he said. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. This man was full of the Holy Ghost. That means that he was filled. How was it that he was filled? And what does it have to do with us? Well, this demonstrated through his life, he did, the way that he lived and the things that he was doing. He was excited about what the Lord was doing. People were being saved and added to the church, and now the Gentiles, who Paul wrote about to be a mystery, not understanding. The Jews didn't understand how that you and I, who are Gentiles, could become a child of God. But he was excited about it, being full of the Holy Ghost. What took him to get down to Antioch? Well, it was persecution. Well, what was it that caused the persecution? Well, it was the preaching of Stephen, which caused him to be stoned. So you see, when you look back into the life of people, you find out there was an event, but you don't have to wait on the event to happen. The event happens when you're saved. See, you're born again. And this, I think, is where we have, in a sense, missed the mark. We're looking for a second blessing. Well, when this happens, when God, if God, you'll do this for me, then I'll do that. God's already done it. Christ died on the cross for us. What more could we ask? He redeemed us. He brought us back to God. By faith in him, we're saved. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. These things are already complete. What you and I need to do is we need to grow in understanding of God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into the place where God wants us to be, which is to be transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what do? We present ourselves. Yes, we do. We yield, of course. These are things that we do, but this is not we don't have to say, well, I've yielded myself to the Lord. We had a dedication service, and I went forward and I dedicated myself to the Lord. How's that working, by the way? And I don't mean to sound facetious. I dedicated myself to the Lord. Well, to do what? So that he can fill me. It's not that we don't need to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Sure, we should. We should do that, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12. We ought to beseech you, brothers and sisters. That's what he said. He begs you to offer your body a living sacrifice. When? Every once in a while? On the fifth Sunday at a dedication service? No, we're to do that on a daily basis. And if we will take God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to fill us, think with me again. When a person hears the word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit and they're born again, they're filled. So if that's what fills a person, what does it take to continually fill them? The word of God and the Holy Spirit. And by doing that, then we're full of the Holy Spirit, and wherever we go, as it was with Barnabas, the Lord can use us. And I would to God that God would use us that way all the time instead of this high and low in the Christian life, people. We need that. We need to give praise to God. We got a list full of needs, and I'm not saying we don't need to pray for them, but what about the praises? Praise God for what he's done for us. Praise God for the small things, the little things. Praise God, we don't even understand what God keeps from us. We wonder sometimes, how close were we? Sometimes we get upset about the car not cranking or whatever, and we're running late, and all the time God said, no, you need to stay there just a little longer. But we don't see that. And we don't credit God with that. We say, but God, you don't understand. Thus and so. And we just learn to trust the Lord. We need to learn to do that. Why? Because this is what he says in his word. Paul didn't get upset. The Holy Spirit says, you're not going over there. He said, but you don't understand. I'm called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and I'm going to go anyway. And he said, no. And then here's a man in the vision from Macedonia said, hey, come over here. Was Paul where God wanted him? Sure he was. And God works the same. We find that in scriptures. What I'm saying is when someone said, well, where do I need to start? Again, the Holy Spirit will lead you. You can get bogged down, you know, as a beginner in the Bible and get into some of the names and he begot us and so forth and so on, but sometimes that's important. But the Holy Spirit will guide you and he will fill you. And this is what he's saying. We're not to be drunk with wine. You see what it does, but you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit to where he is controlling your life. He's controlling your thoughts. If there's something that's taking us away from God that's causing us to think this way or do this, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and have free reign in our life, and this is what He wants. So continually to be filled, being filled, and be being filled. Then as a result of this, of course, this is what we're seeing. With Barnabas, he's full of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the flesh, I mentioned the flesh, we have a problem with the flesh, the Spirit in a believer is what we need to be filled with. I was going to give an example of that back in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. It says, "Be ye not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." So you and I still have this flesh nature. We know that's there. How do we know? We find it in the Word of God. Paul wrestled with it. The things he wanted to do, he found it hard to do. The things that he didn't want to do, and this is Paul, the apostle. He's finding himself doing it. Who are we to say that we don't have a problem with that? We do. We have a problem with that nature. He said, "Be ye not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that ye, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That's a conditional statement too, by the way. He said, "Be ye not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." If the Spirit dwells in you, then we're to be in the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Is it that we have a say-so of how much He gets of us? We get all of the Holy Spirit, but how much does He get of us? Do we want to be filled? That's a question that may be asked. Some would say, "Yes, I want to be filled. I didn't know that I needed to be filled." Well, this is what the Scripture is saying. How can then I be filled? Well, let's get into the things of God. Let's open the Word of God and let's allow the Holy Spirit to say, "This is what you need to do. This is how you need to walk. This is how you need to talk." Can you say, use vulgarity and profanity and be a believer? Sure you can, but it grieves the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the grieving of the Holy Spirit thank God, it's not a one-time event with continual action. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't have a continual effect upon the relationship. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now the once grieved Holy Spirit, the same one that sanctifies us, that seals us, He will fill us. So is there a need to give ourselves over to the Spirit, to yield? Sure it is. And this is what He's saying. So when we do this, and this may be a good kind of a litmus test, if you would, how can I tell whether I am being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? How do I know when I'm filled with the presence of God? Well, look at verse 19, chapter 5 in Ephesians. He says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." What's on your mind most of the time? Remember, Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost, and he went down there and he encouraged these believers. How do we see this? In this matter, I marked another place. If you want to hold your place here in Ephesians 5, look, if you would, over at Colossians chapter 3. I think this will kind of flow together. Colossians chapter 3. We'll look at some of those things that the Holy Spirit does, how He works in the life of the believer. We're filled and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, we're talking about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and it takes both. I think about salvation today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Salvation comes today through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit in the world today. We know He's working. We see Him working in the lives of individuals, but why aren't other people being saved? Well, they've never had an opportunity or come to the saving knowledge of Christ by hearing of the Word. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, and to teach the Word of God. It takes the Word of God, it takes the Holy Spirit to fill us, to continue to keep us filled. And when this occurs, he says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. He didn't say, as Paul did back in Ephesians, be ye filled, but he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see that? You see the filling of the Holy Spirit? Again, let's think about it. We've got the Holy Spirit on one side. We've got the Word of God on the other side. We're both grounded in the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit, if you'll let the Word of Christ dwell in you and let the Holy Spirit fill you, you're going to get where God wants you to be. And what is it that God wants out of a Christian's life? With the work of the Holy Spirit, with the work of the Word of God, He wants to transform us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we're not there yet. We're saved? Yes, we are. We're secure in our salvation? Yes, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But we aren't living like Christ. And this is a daily working of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's what he said. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, he says, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Back in verse 19, it's almost identical. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How does that work? Well, in the midst of whatever's going on, the Lord will put a song in your heart. He'll bring to mind at the appropriate time. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit does that. He'll bring a thought, a scripture. He'll bring a tune to your mind. As I said, thank you for the song this morning. It's right what I needed. It's like the Holy Spirit says, see, this is where you are. This is what you need. It's the Word of God. It's the filling of the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then it says in verse number 20, back in Ephesians 5:18, giving thanks always in all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians 3:17 it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's almost a repetition of what He is saying here. Giving thanks always for all things. Brings to mind my dear friend who's with the Lord, Brother Wayne Brashears. Brother Wayne stated correctly Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say, and the scripture didn't say all things are good. He said they work together. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Again, how is it? How can a man be thankful when he's facing a terminal disease? Well, I tell you what, thank God he's not separated from Christ forever. Thank God he's got a home. We sang about Beulah Land a while ago, praise God. It's more than just a song in our mind, but God will, at times when we need it, he'll bring that song to mind. He'll bring the words to mind, and he'll give us what we need and remind us that he's with us. We can praise the Lord in times of trouble. And it may be And it may be in your life as in my life, I can look back at a case in point in my life when I was distraught, if you would. I didn't understand why God allowed this to happen. And then I saw and I learned through the reading of His Word, by the way of the Holy Spirit, by the prayer of other saints, by the working of God, that it wasn't the event, but it was through the prayers and the Word and the Spirit that I grew. And so if it takes an event to get us where we need to be, then Lord, bring it on. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We see the world today running wild. I mean, they're doing all they can to get all that they can and to enjoy themselves, and they're not even looking at eternity. And folks, think about it this morning. We may not have everything that we need, but think about God and what He's given us. Really, we have everything we need, don't we? In Jesus Christ, we don't need anything else. Anything above salvation, and then look how God's blessed us. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We ought to encourage one another. You know, there are people who are down and downhearted, downtrodden. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about good Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes things cross their path. And you know, sometimes, folks, we're not all at the same place at the same time. There are people who are growing. They haven't come to understand that it's through this event that God is calling them back. And the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to me and think about the Word of God. And then there are those who've been there. We need to help along the way. We need to say, in a sense, the Lord will see you through this. We have the proof. We know. We're not a know-it-all, but we know that we know. And you know, the Lord's good. And we need to encourage other people along the way. So let's continue to continue. Let's let Him keep us filled. Keep us full so we can be a blessing wherever we go. Amen. Let's stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we want to thank You again for Your precious Word. We want to thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your will and Your way in our life, the way that You conduct Yourself. Lord, we pray that You would use us to be a blessing to others. Be an encouragement. As Barnabas encouraged those full of the Holy Spirit, help us to be filled and be an encourager to others. Lord, that we can make a difference in this day, in this age in which we live. And we'll thank You for what You do, for we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.